Thank you.
Thank you, Nina. And I think we're going to go back to Tanya. We have maybe 15, 20 minutes left in our broadcast here at the Candidates Forum for Cherry County Commissioner. And I told you we'd get back to that road bond question, and so here it comes. Can you please explain in detail, or as much as you know, about Cherry County's road bond payment debt numbers and your payoff strategy and a timeline to do that? So that's kind of an in-depth question. And again, yes, Tanya, it's only 2 minutes, so I know it's going to cram a lot into there, but can you explain the Cherry County road bond payment debt numbers and payoff strategy and a timeline for that?
There we go. In all fairness, this is going to be tough for the three challengers. But we, again, in 2019, we were faced with catastrophic damage. We had a choice to make. So we either needed to continue to operate under our annual maintenance budgets, which is what they are, and repair roads bit by bit, and probably we would not have all roads back in condition, I can guarantee you, today had we taken that route. In addition to that, the inflationary cost would be eating our lunch if we had to do the same repairs this year that we did 2 years ago. So we did take out a $10 million bond. The FEMA estimated $19 million. We were pretty sure that that was an overestimation, and even the $10 million was an overestimation. So we didn't spend that in its entirety. We refinanced that bond. Let me back up one step. We also made a very intentional decision that when we took that bond out, we took the money and invested it into the Nebraska Liquid Asset Fund, which interest rates are good when they go down if you're borrowing money. They're not as good when they go down when you're spending money, and so we didn't get as good a returns on that as we had hoped. But the goal was that we'd get some of that money back, that we'd be almost flush until we needed to spend it, because there's no long-term commitment when you put it into the Nebraska Liquid Asset Fund. So about 2-3 months ago, we refinanced that bond. We reduced the interest rate. When we refinanced, it's going to save the county about $450,000. And so we're waiting on the FEMA money to come in. We're getting towards the end. We're a little disappointed in what FEMA is going to reimburse us for. And so as we will put all of those FEMA dollars towards the repayment of that bond. And then if we have to take a look at financing that over the next period of 5 or 6 years to continue to pay it off, that may be where we're at.
All right. Thank you, Tanya. And Mike McConaughey, your comments on the road bonds. Well, I don't have the purview that these guys have got. They're the ones that made the bond. After seeing the question, I went to the courthouse and I researched it. I've actually been sitting here having a little bit of conversation with James on it. The original bond, of course, was $10 million. They've done a wonderful job of controlling it and paying it down and restructuring it. I think it was a very wise decision. I think the challengers are a little bit behind on all this because we don't know what the original plan was other than the NEMA money to pay the money back. Without access to the full budget to see what my payment plan would be, I don't know. I think three of us are behind on this deal just because we know the original amounts and everything, but as for the payment structure, I think we're behind. I don't know what they've got a plan. I'm sure they do. They've done an extremely good job of financially taking care of the issue, and I guess we'll go forward on their plan.
Okay, thank you, Mike. And James, your thoughts?
Yeah, Mike's really correct there. I think that question is kind of unfair to the other three. It was a $10 million bond. When we got that bond money, we put it in the Nebraska Liquid Asset Fund because county cannot invest money and make money on that money. So that was a Series 2020, okay, is what those bonds were called. They were at a 3% interest rate. Through some maneuvering with the bond market and all of that, we were able to, in essence, refinance those bonds and lower that interest rate down to 2.15%. Okay, that equated to we saved, is the best way to put it, about $450,000, as Tanya said. FEMA is absolutely insane to deal with. I would guess there has been probably 6 or 7 different people at FEMA that we have dealt with on trying to get this worked through. You have to wait for them to decide that, oh, okay, it's approved. Oh, and then they have to send somebody out physically to come out, go look at it, because they don't take your pictures or your word for it. And then they go back, and then they say, well, we missed this piece, so can you go find that? The sheer volume of paperwork, everyone that has dealt with this wants to give, and I'm going to name her by name, Kay Reese. She's the road secretary up there, and she is phenomenal at keeping this thing organized. It has been an absolute trial and tribulation. She has submitted the same paperwork probably 4 or 5 times to try to get this through. When we do get all that back, and hopefully we get more of it back, we're still waiting on some, then, as Tanya said, we're going to have to look at if there is a shortfall there on that refund from the from FEMA to services. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, James. And Nina, your comments on that road bond, and I know we've already heard you guys are kind of at a disadvantage. I know you've had some time to research it a little bit. What did you find out?
Well, yeah, the research was very interesting. There's a lot of different documents on this. But I actually thought it was a good question just because I feel it raises awareness for not just us as the newbies here, but also for the people that kind of know what's or need to know what's going on. I think a lot of people were actually surprised of this thing. So, but yeah, what I found, I mean, I can just read a few numbers here. So in the budget right now, the last printout I had here was, I asked for the last printout I had on this, that was March 31st of 22. So the budget on the disaster was $9,562,789. And in the remaining budget right now is $2,856,739. So the year-to-date expenditure was actually $6,706.04. So obviously big numbers. I'm just reading these out so that you guys actually get to hear them, and I'm sure nobody else out of the people that are listening are aware of the burden that's actually currently putting on the county. So yes, we need to plan ahead. We need to look at the schedule. The schedule I have in front of me here has a payoff through 2030. So yeah, all our good intentions on saving some money and working with the taxes might come out difficult if FEMA doesn't come through paying. So hey, I'm glad this awareness is being raised, because that might be on some of our shoulders when it comes to the next fiscal year. So I actually appreciated the question. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nina. And finally, Shane, your comments on the road bond.
Well, obviously, that's a more complex than a two-minute response, but I'll give it a shot. Doing the research at the courthouse and whatnot, you know, some of these notes have a 5-year call. So even if you pay them off interest or pay them off early, you're still going to pay the interest. There's a lot of variables. What's available? Extra money at the end of the budget, at the end of the year. I mean, if we have a cash reserve, should we put that into an upcoming project and pay cash for that and continue to make the payments that we've already got borrowed? You know, again, lots and lots of variables. Need to work with the other commissioners to make a plan. Something that they kind of didn't, I don't know, why would we invest money with borrowed money? You know, if we got money to invest, why wouldn't we pay that note off early instead of trying to invest and try to make money on that borrowed money? That doesn't make sense to me, to invest borrowed money.
All right, thank you, Shane. I think everybody had a chance to get through that question. I wanted to follow up a little bit on one of the audience questions, and Zach, you had that one.
Yeah, we actually got a lot of really good questions from the audience, and I thank everybody who turned those in. Some of them we've already covered with our own questions, and some were just inadvertently answered by the candidates. But this is one that has come up several times from the audience. Do you feel that 5 commissioners would be more beneficial or more fair in regards to voting outcomes, especially in the best interest of Cherry County citizens. I believe Tanya started last time, so we'll move on to Mike McConaughey to start this round.
Yes, I believe that we should move immediately over to a five-person board. I believe that you take all five individuals sitting up here tonight. You get a cross-section of people with different opinions. I believe that you would possibly represent the people better. You got lawyers. James has got a strong law background. Tanya's got experience. The more people that you can get on a board, I think the better informed decisions and the better outcome with Cherry County in general with the people.
One little follow-up to that would be, does anybody know what the process is, if you might add in there too, what the process is of changing from a 3 to 5-member board, if you know what that is?
I have no idea what the process would be. I assume it would have to go to a general election first and be voted on by the people. But the process to get it started, I would have no idea.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. And James, your comment?
There's positives and negatives to both. Right now, there's a tremendous amount of other boards that we as commissioners also sit on. And having 5 members would divvy up that a lot. That being said, I don't think that your individual commissioners would be nearly as involved as in-depth as we are in all the aspects of the county, because you would end up with more delegation around of different items going on. And I think it's very good as a commissioner to be so actively involved and have to know what is going on everywhere in the county with almost everything going on. From the North Central District Health Department, the Niagara Council, to there's like 6 boards I sit on, and the other commissioners also sit on, I believe, that many also. It takes a lot of your time and a lot of your effort. As far as the process, to go from 3 to 5, I actually can speak on that. I have a little more than a law background. I actually have a bar license. I actually am an attorney. Sorry, don't hold that against me. Under Nebraska state statute, I can't quote it for you, but there is a process to petition, to circulate a petition to, I believe it's 5% of the voters in last voting election. That has to be presented to the election commissioner, and then it would go on to be a ballot question, and it would be a simple vote up or down of the county, vote for 3 commissioners or 5. If we went to 5, everybody needs to wear it. That would add expense to the county too, because it is a job, and it is a paid job.
Thank you, James. And Nina, your comments on the 3 to 5 commissioner change possibility. Yep.
All right. I believe it probably would be a good idea to have 5 people, just because we've seen in the past that 3 can really kind of monopolize some sectors in being able to just vote 2 against 1. So it's difficult for a large county like this to get fair representation if you don't have more than 3 people on there. So I would definitely be in favor of the 5-people board, and I know there have actually been several people that have looked into that to get a petition out, just like James said, and to be able to vote on that. I don't know where that got stuck in the trenches, because, yeah, I think it's been discussed and chewed through. Just, I don't think anybody's ever taken the initiative to actually get the petition out there. So I feel for the next circle around, if we could get that going, would definitely be a benefit, not just to the board, but also to the citizens for more equal representation. Thank you.
Thank you, Nina. And Shane?
Yeah, I answered that question earlier on with the my goals for being elected as a commission would be to move to a 5-commissioner board. There has been a petition in the past, just never got to where it's going. Granted, yes, that would add 2 more paid positions to the county budget. I firmly believe that that'd be money well spent to dissect the community, so you get more of an equal representation. They said the current county commissioner sat on lots of boards. It's just going to be, if it goes to a 5-member board, we spread those out on those positions on other boards, and we just have to talk and communicate and keep everybody informed of what's going on, so nobody gets lost in the translation.
Okay, and finally, I think it's Tanya Storr's comments on that question.
Well, it's working. All right. That's not anything that the commissioners decide. And so really, I guess this is just a broad question about our opinion. This is something for the people of Cherry County to decide. And through the process that James described, if there certainly is a will to do that, I encourage folks to get a petition going and let the people decide. I am a conservative around every corner. That's fiscal conservatism, and that's limited government. And so I do have a little bit of heartburn with the concept, because it is growing government and it's growing expenses. It reminds me a little bit of a story I was once told, where the guy was selling watermelon on the corner and he wasn't making any money, and he turned to his partner and he said, "I think we need a bigger truck." So a majority vote is a majority vote. It's 2-1, it's 3-2. I don't know that this would solve the issues that people perceive, but certainly encourage folks that want to pursue that to look into the process and let the people of Cherry County decide that.
All righty, thank you. And I think we're at about our 7:30 time here, and we want to allow time for a couple minutes of some wrap-up comments in there. Zach, is this a 2-minute?
Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to allow another 2 minutes for a wrap-up for closing statements. We started with Nina Nelson, followed by Shane, Tanya, Mike, and James went last in the opening statements. And so we're going to go in first order this time around. So we're going to give James Ward the floor for 2 minutes to give his closing statements.
Bottom line is, commissioners have to follow the law. It's not our job to pick who's a winner or a loser in any issue. It's to represent the people of Cherry County. It's to represent all people of Cherry County. That means if you're for or you're against, you're represented. We have rules, we have zoning regulations. I didn't write the rules, but we have to work within those rules. We have to be very careful of government overreach. If we have too much government overreach in our county, we will not have economic growth, we will not have economic viability, we will not have ranchers, we will not have businesses. They will be ruled out of business. There's been a lot of talk up here about nursing homes and schools and stuff like that. Those are not things that the Cherry County commissioners can affect. I don't have any direct control over the schools or their budgets. I don't have any direct control over any of the other levying entities in the county. What I do have control over is the county budget. And by holding that line and keeping close to our conservative values, that's where spending is held. I just want to make it clear, it is very important that our children have the opportunity, they have the ability, and they have a desire to come back here. And I hope with your vote for me as county commissioner, I can continue my work to make sure that that is a realization. Thank you.
Thank you, James. And let's go over to Mike McConaughey.
In closing, I guess I'd ask you for your vote. Keep your property taxes low. That is going to be my main thing. I want to look whenever there's a property right issue or anything like that. I would wish that we would, you know, come to the table, all opponents, for, against, or whatever, and find a common ground, keep the county out of litigation, and do it the way it should be. You know, agreed upon across the table. You can disagree, agree, whatever, but let's try to keep things simple in the county and try to make it a positive place for kids to want to come home to. Let's keep updating things, but let's do it as we can, not you know, at the, you know, breaking the backs of everybody that's paying personal property taxes. So, in that closing, thank you.
Thank you, Mike, and over to Tanya Storr.
Thank you, Mike. This has been great. Again, thank you for hosting it. I guess just a couple of closing thoughts. Again, I'm a conservative. That means rule of law. That means limited government. That means fiscal conservatism. That means keeping the federal government at bay. I walk it, and I talk it, and I live it. And that's how I will lead, and how I have led, and how I will continue to lead. I think our track record on your taxes speak for itself. Again, we've kept your tax increases under inflationary rates. We're under 5% growth in 7 years. We know that we need to continue, and we've been able to do that. We've increased, county employees have gotten 2.5% increases every year. We gave elected officials, except for ourselves, we keep freezing our own, but elected officials a 5% increase. We upped our road guys to $2 an hour to become more competitive there. We gave the Justice Center a couple bucks an hour. We don't have the luxury of closing the jail. It's a 24/7 facility. So we have recognized areas that we need to be competitive and make those increases, but finding that money in the budget and controlling spending in other areas. And so track record is there. You know what I've done on taxes. You know how I will lead. Again, I'm conservative. I'm principled. Some have referred to me as a little ornery, maybe. My dad's sitting here, so he may throw that adjective in there. But I would ask for your vote to continue to lead this county in that manner. Again, we're under attack from outside sources, including the federal government, and agendas that go even beyond that. I've studied those issues for over 20 years, and I've seen it coming. I know how to fight it. With that, thank you all for coming. Everybody's time is precious. It's calving season, and for those listening online, thank you for bearing with us.
Okay, thank you, Tanya Storm. And Shane Daniels, your closing comments, please.
Yeah, as a conservative, you know, I know that spending some money is necessary. Things still have to be done. Money still has to be spent. We just have to hold the line on that spending. Having been said that, I don't like to be over leveraged in debt. I'm here for an opportunity for change in the commissioner's office. I won't have everyone's answers to their questions, but I'll work hard to find those answers. If elected as a freshman commissioner, I will have a learning curve. I just want to be transparent and be a voice for the people. Thank you to the KBSH and sponsors tonight and the community coming out to meet us, and I'd appreciate your vote.
Thank you, Shane Daniels. And finally, the closing comments here, Nina Nelson.
Well, thank you all for coming. It was definitely a good conversation, and I like that everybody stayed really positive. And I am just hoping to continue some positivity, as well as just try to bridge the gap between the different parties, more or less, in this county. There's been a lot of turmoil. There's been, like was mentioned earlier, families torn apart. There's been a lot of things going on over serious issues that we probably can't just fix, but we can't just ignore them either. So I'm asking for your vote, and I pledge to serve you. I serve you with integrity and knowledge. I will serve you with relentless work effort. I pledge to listen to you, and I pledge to hear what you say and implement your ideas. I pledge to grow the county in a sustainable way for small businesses and local families, ranches, and farms to prosper. And I pledge to protect the abundance of nature, wildlife, clean water, and clean air for everybody to enjoy, because we have a treasure here that I feel very strongly a lot of people are taking for granted. And I've lived a lot of different places, and I can tell you guys, it's something that's getting lost out there. It is not something that is given. It is a privilege, and I feel that we need to treat it as that, and that we need to preserve it for generations to come. And therefore, I am asking for your vote for a positive change, a vote for abundance, and a vote for the people. Thank you, guys.
I know we didn't get to all of the audience questions. We didn't get to all of ours either. We didn't cover everything that we had on our list there, but I do think we did a pretty good job of covering a lot of the bases and a wide range of topics in there. So I would encourage you that you can follow up with the candidates, get a hold of them. They're pretty accessible. Their phones are usually in the book, so you can find them and follow up with any other questions you might have before you get that ballot in the mail sometime after the 20th of April, I believe. So if you would, please, would you give our candidates a round of applause for them stepping up tonight? Zach, do you have any final comments on our forum?
You know, I just wanted to, again, thank everybody for being here. We got all five of the candidates who have put their name in the hat, and it's not a really enviable job, really, to be on the county commission. It's a big job. It's a lot of work. And so for everyone who's the incumbents between James and Tanya and, of course, the challengers, Mike and Shane and Nina, thanks for your interest in the county, and thanks to everybody who came here and who's listening in, who's taking part in our democratic process. It's really important, and I certainly appreciate it from everybody.
And don't forget to get out there and vote here in the primary and the general election for the candidate of your choice. Again, thank you to all five of our candidates, our listeners, and everybody, as Zach said. And this has been a public service broadcast.
Our timekeeper as well. We probably should recognize our timekeeper.
Sean Hamling, yeah. Sean Hamling, good job running the clock over there. Yeah. And my wife, Kim, for helping out with those questions as well. And we're going to turn things back to the studios of KDSH Radio at this time. And again, thank you for listening on KDSH and KDSH.com.